This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Many other Christian Coloco thoughts, so I'm going to go ahead and dive into the iTunes mailbag, the live comments, and the Twitter mailbag as well. I start here with a regular commenter, a regular question giver, whose name is just a bunch of question marks, but they write, Anthony, love the show, could never tell you enough, thank you. I think what's prevented you from doing what I'm about to suggest might be the girl dad in you. However, I think it's only right Miles gets the outro or something in one of the shows. Avery's got the intro and she's a staple and that's great, but let's get Miles in there. He sounds like he'd say something hilarious. Keep up the great work. Still don't know how to change my name, how my name pops up, but glad you give my reviews a time of day. Look, the best way to get your topic on the show outside of maybe the super comments here from the live audience is with a 5-star iTunes review. I greatly appreciate that. Now, as far as Miles go, there is some rebranding stuff that I'm going to be doing heading into the season that I'm just kind of sitting on. A Miles cameo will probably, you know, now that he says words, that's kind of important in the audio space. But I think he'll probably be added to the intro / outro. We'll see what that sounds like. We'll see what his interest is. Like, he's very shy. He's really kind of moody. So it's altogether possible I would sit him on my lap and I would say, all right, Miles, say dad, dad. And he would just kind of look at me like, no, I don't want to. And I would be sitting here waiting for him to do it. And then as soon as he got off of the mic or I turned the mic off or stopped trying to get him to say it, he would say, dad, dad. And it would just be very Miles. So, and look, that would be funny in its own way, but not in any kind of way that you guys would really benefit from. So eventually Miles is going to get he'll make his podcast debut and we'll see how that goes if and when it happens. All right. So I'm going to look at the questions here that I asked for. We have a few of them from people with proof of being subscribed. So the first one here comes from Lakers Supply. With Coloco signing a two-way contract, is there a possibility if he performs well in camp / preseason, the Lakers make a 2-for-1 trade to open up a roster spot? Yeah, it's possible. Possible that the Lakers do that. You don't see too many early season trades, though. Everybody, you know, tends to kind of wait for, you know, approaching December when the number of players who you can actually trade get moved. Teams want to get a look at their roster out on the court before they make that kind of a deal early in the season. So, like, if Coloco comes in and absolutely blows everybody away, then they'll just use up his two-way days that he can actually spend in the NBA. And then, you know, from there, once you run out of those, once you've seen enough or you have enough data sample where you find out that that performance is real, then you maybe, you know, look into moving, two of those guys to open up a roster spot. It also, I think mid-December, if I'm not mistaken, is when, or early December, is when the Lakers can finally stack their minimum contracts. And because right now, because of where they sit in this, whatever he calls it, apron world, is Rob's term. Because of where they sit in apron world, they cannot combine minimum contracts in a trade in order to bring back a certain amount of salary. So I think they would probably wait to do that and then to be able to do that and then make that move while Koloko gets NBA minutes as a two-way player. You may as well take advantage of having Koloko on a two-way deal. And this is how I would imagine they do that. If he does have a strong training camp, a strong preseason. Now the risk that you run into there is while he's on that two-way deal, if he's playing well, some other team signs him to an NBA deal. And rips that rug out from underneath you. So, you know, that's a bit of risk there, but I think the Lakers probably sit on that and live through that risk so that they can get a proper data sample to make a decision on whether Koloko should get all of Wood's minutes, all of Hayes's minutes, all of Castleton's minutes. If Koloko is clearly the second best center on the team or in the organization, then you wait a little bit and you make the decision or you act on that data when, you know, what you're able to do. The CBA allows your decisions there to be a little bit more flexible. All right. Let's see here. Major Takes writes, is there any chance the Lakers make a trade before training camp, or are we already looking towards the trade deadline? Yeah. Like I said, I think at this point in the summer, as you know, training camps are getting ready to go. Teams are basically, you know, going to use training camp to see what needs they need to address and how quickly they need to address those needs. And then, training camp is a time to, you know, get guys out there in practice, see which combinations are working. And I can't really honestly remember very many pre-training camp trades in, you know, late September. Normally it's time for that. The late September is time for Earth, Wind, and Fire and not so much trade rumors and speculation. Sam the Great asked, why does Jeannie Buss still own the team? Because she hasn't sold and I don't think is looking to sell anytime particularly soon. I don't think it's completely off the table. I do think eventually Guggenheim will take over at least majority ownership from the Buss family. And man, that would be great if and when that happens. But I don't think that would happen while LeBron is in the organization. I think they'll probably maybe LeBron retires and then they start that conversation would be my kind of guess, educated guess, but guess. All right, let's look at the comments from you guys on here. Zane asks, does Masai really think he's going to get a first for Bruce Brown? Other than OG, he hasn't gotten great value for other players. They need a power forward like Rui and to free up playing time for Grady. No, I think all of those are good points, especially the part about Masai getting less than he maybe should or getting nothing whatsoever as guys walk via free agency. Masai, you know, does hold his players in high regard. He's a just staunch negotiator, very stubborn person in handling those conversations. And that has led to a little, I think, animosity for lack of a better term at the moment. Between him and the teams that he negotiates with. Obviously he and Rob have had their staring contests and they have gone back and forth on players there in the past and wound up not pulling the trigger on something because neither guy was really ready to relent on their stance. And I think here with Bruce Brown, it might be another situation where, Masai gave up a certain gave up stuff to get Bruce Brown. And then, is looking to, continue, basically taking advantage of those situations to bring in Bruce Brown and then now get stuff for him. But you know, like you're saying, Bruce is on, I believe, a bloated expiring contract. He's a helpful NBA player, but certainly wasn't the same Bruce Brown away from Nikola Jokic as many people anticipated. So like his trade value, his trade market is a little bit diminished. And I don't like, if I were the Lakers, unless it was like a heavily protected first round pick, I don't think I would give up a first for Bruce Brown. And like, you know, depending on the protections that you're talking about, if it's like a top 25 protected first round pick, then okay. Like I'm okay with it. It does kind of make things a little trickier for, you know, stepping in rules and such like that. But I like, if that's what, you know, where like the pick that you send over is probably going to be second rounders, then okay. Or if you can just get him by using several second rounders, then that's what I would prefer, because Brown is absolutely perfect alongside Austin Reeves. Like legitimately, in terms of players on the trade market who fill an actual need, I think I could make a really solid case that Brown is the guy who most addresses some like stuff that the Lakers need. So that's who I would prefer that they kind of target and go after. And I would imagine those conversations will pick back up as training camps get underway and as the season gets underway. And I would imagine we're going to start hearing more about that stuff in like mid-December, once, you know, veteran minimums can be used and more players are eligible to be traded and all that good stuff.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Let's see here. We got Ville go crazy. Coloco is 7 foot with a 7'5 wingspan. AD is 6'10. Yeah, so he's like taller by a couple inches, but he's a very skinny player. He's not a big guy. So, you know, he would help with some stuff. Wow, Fairbairn with a 59 yarder. It's crazy how good field goal kickers are in the NFL. Like you could, I think almost objectively speaking, kicking field goals is the thing that has advanced the furthest in all of sports and gotten, you know, improved over my lifetime. Because I remember when I was a kid, like a 50 yarder was unheard of. Like you would, like people were punting back then for what would have been 50 yard field goals. And then, you know, I remember like, you know, 50 became more of the norm and stuff like that. But now we're reaching a point where 60 something yard field goals are becoming almost part of the norm in the NFL. And, you know, just as we're talking, Kyemi Fairbairn, who I didn't even think was that great at UCLA. I didn't think he had that kind of a leg, He's kicking this 59 yarder and it went through. Now it tucked in that left upright, but it cleared. Like that would have been good for, you know, from 60 plus. That was crazy. But anyway, sorry. My point is more with Coloco and with Hayes and with Wood that that either they are not physically equipped to do the types of things that AD doesn't want to keep doing as a center, or wired to do them, right? In Wood's case, he is probably big enough to do some of that stuff, just doesn't really like doing it and just doesn't. And then, you know, Castleton, I think, is big enough to do it. We just don't have any proof that he would actually do it at the next level. And then, you know, with Coloco and with Hayes, those guys just aren't big enough to body a Valanciunas or body a Jokic or body an Embiid. And that's the kind of big that I think Anthony Davis would prefer the Lakers add. Let's see. Next question here comes from a concerned citizen. To be honest, I wasn't impressed with Castleton in Summer League. Didn't see much progress from him last year. Ideally would get a backup center better than Colin and Coloco. Well, that last point, 1,000,000% agree. like I 100,000,000,000 agree that this that the Lakers need a better backup than they currently have. They needed one last year, and then the guy who is probably the most talented backup that they have is not going to be available for the first, you know, few weeks of the season, and we'll see what he looks like coming off of surgery and recovering in the season. So we'll see there. But you know, with the Castleton stuff, I get some of the frustration, and Lakers fans, I'm old enough to remember Jay Huff, right? And how he was always the name that came up. Why isn't Jay Huff getting a call, or why isn't he getting an opportunity? Why isn't they this and why isn't he that? And now Huff is no longer in the Lakers organization and may not even be in the NBA. I think he might either be playing in abroad, or if he is in like the NBA universe, it's in some other G League team. So with Castleton, you know, he's bigger guy, thicker guy. And I also was hoping to see a little bit more from him in the summer league, especially compared to the previous summer, and it just wasn't quite there from what I saw. The one thing I'll say, not to defend Castleton, but he's not the kind of big that is going to fare all that well in summer league. Like the kinds of bigs that play well in summer league are the kinds that like you can just throw a lob up to the rafters and have them go up, catch it and dunk it. Castleton doesn't quite do that. He is much of a skill type big, passing type big, and just I don't think saw the ball enough. The other thing too with bigs in the NBA in general, and especially in summer league, is the art of the entry pass has basically freaking died. It is unbelievable how bad the NBA is at that. And for somebody like Castleton, who would be catching the ball in the post, catching the ball in the high post, if you can't get the ball because your teammates are not capable of throwing that kind of a pass, then what are you going to do? So I am probably going to be very hard on Castleton in the moments that we see him, because of the opportunity that lays ahead of him, and because of the need that the Lakers have, the desperate need that they have at his position. So we'll see how that goes. All right. I got to do this one. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ahead and call this one here. Enjoy the rest of my Sunday evening. I will be breaking this up into two parts, two shorter parts. So it'll only have like the one mid-roll or whatever. And then, you know, picking right back up on Monday, and from there on out with more of these daily shows, whether it's player re-previews, whether it's the contender series, whether it's, you know, we get some more news as we enter camp, where I think we're going to, that the news cycle is going to pick up a little bit, and the rumor cycle is probably going to pick up a little bit. So I'll be talking about that stuff as well. So until then, and until the next time you hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And because you guys are going to be listening to this on a Monday morning, happy birthday. Happy second birthday to little man Miles and that crazy attitude that he has. Love you, buddy. Talk to you later.